beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, beer, beer. Beer, 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 beer. Beer, 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 beer. It's the final countdown.
From our dusty cellars, probably be more likely to call it so crap October, I'd say, probably, because you can't have any pints.
Whoa.
Exactly.
I'm Fionn de Burka. Joining us this week, as usual. If he was a flotation device in a riptide, he still wouldn't get taken out. Jack Toner.
Oh, here. A bit harsh, mate. That's a bit stiff there, mate.
If he was a health nurse during a pandemic, he still wouldn't get a shift. It's James Belfast.
This is some horseplay.
Probably. If he was a jockey at the Grand National, no one would have sex with him.
Good riddance for you there, Fionn. I honestly thought it was beyond you.
What? Real of them. You lost me, mate. Sorry. I think your Zoom's stopped acting
clock.
Up.
Are we dealing with some stopped clocks here, being right?
Stop clock would be wrong, though.
But is he right twice a day?
What?
Is he right twice a day, Fionn?
No, it stopped working.
No, because the time changes, but the clock stays the same.
No, like communism. It stopped working.
That's some right of center humor I like.
What?
Is Fionn staying for the whole show?
No, man. Not staying with all you V's, that's for sure. Young, what did I tell you? You were not allowed involved in get out.
God damn it, get out of here, Fionn.
I'd be out of your bedroom faster than you would be if it was time to make your bloody bed, wouldn't I? Sorry, guys. I've tried to keep him out of the bedroom. It is.
I'm having a PTSD flashback. Was Fionn a result of dry January or sober October before? I think he might have been.
He's the kind of thing that would be, yeah. He's one of the less popular results of that. I mean, Jerry Sexton was a huge boon for the world. But
Jerry doesn't know he's a huge boon.
Yeah, Fionn is much like the Matt Damon of my house in that he's got stuck over here and now he's quarantining here. So. He's great fun when you're sober, I'll tell you that much.
Does anyone know anybody who got stuck quarantining somewhere? Either in a
Yeah, Fionn de Burka is stuck in my house.
Just like a second person.
Yeah. But Manus, obviously, who got stuck with Fionn. Does anyone know a third person?
Not Damon, who got stuck in Dorky.
Personally.
Which would lead you to believe he knew he was getting stuck. Like, if he got stuck in Finglas, I'd be like, wow, you really got stuck there, buddy. He's like, oh no, in the middle of summer, got stuck in Sunny Docky. What a shame. Yeah. Probably trying to get away from the wife. Get away from you. Get out of here. Stop it. Slapped him a couple of times, but he's gone. He's gone now.
There was a tweet at the start of lockdown. Now, probably not a real story, but it was at the start of coronavirus 2. Lesbians went on a date and they stayed over, and then kind of at the same time they started to exhibit symptoms, so they had to self-isolate together for 14 days, which is the most lesbian thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's it. That was a stereotype
together.
I was late to the game with. I only heard about it a couple of years ago, but it was like, oh yeah, that does happen all the time.
How did it work out for them?
I didn't hear beyond the initial tweet.
I'd imagine they have several cats.
Yeah, by the end of 2 weeks, they had already adopted a baby. Yeah.
They had built several shelves. All of your typical lesbian stereotypes.
They bought an entire Subaru.
Leo Varadkar had both disagreed with their lifestyle and vocally supported it, depending on what way the public mood was going. You know?
How does Fionn feel about your Leo bashing?
We don't talk about it.
Ah.
Some things are sacred.
Yeah. Well, that one he wouldn't see as bashing. He just sees that as pragmatic, you know?
Mm. Is pragmatism one of the keynote addresses at the Young Fine Gael conference every year?
No, we don't really say pragmatic around Fionn. It's just a couple of extra syllables. We say sensible. Now, syllable-wise, not much of a difference, but he's heard sensible. He played He played sensible soccer on the Commodore 64 when he was younger.
Yeah.
He knows about sensible.
Mm. Yeah.
But he's missing out because of the pragmatic soccer was a much better version.
It was,
It was the pro Ev to sensible soccer's FIFA. FIFA's probably the more well thought of game now, but like Pro Ev was the game when I was a young fella. It was way better.
It was, yeah. And then FIFA just decided to actually, or EA decided to just spend money and make their game good, and suddenly they're raking in money.
Yeah, they pulled the finger right out. I think Pro Ev just got worse as well. They just started really cracking down on, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Did they lose the rights to the players? Was that it?
Pro Ev kind of was funny with player rights anyway. Some players they could have.
I feel like rights is the sort of thing which would bother people more nowadays.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Like playing as London Red or London Blue. You know, back in the 90s, early 2000s, that was fine. You put up with that.
Mm. Yeah.
It also gave you the option to go in and edit the names.
Edit them,
Which I did. But it was really hard figuring out. Some of them had really obvious names and some of them less so. In fact, the Dutch national team in Pro Ev 2 was just Oranges 001, Oranges 002. That was all of their team. So you have to be like looking at them going, is that Ruud Ullett? Oh, don't be racist, but there's only one black guy on the team. Oh, Patrick Cliver. Ah!
Yeah.
I mixed them up. So there was that, you know. But before we get into it, on this week's agenda, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about Spooktober. You watched another film.
Maybe a little bit. Who knows?
We were going to talk about the season finale of The Boys, but Jack is a little bitch and hasn't kept up with it.
Yeah.
Right, he managed to get all the way to episode 7.
I've only got one episode to go. I wanted to save it.
I was in the middle of watching episode 8 and I was like, this really feels like a final episode, but there's still 2 left after this. And then of course there wasn't 10 episodes in the season, so there you go. What else? There was new South Park. Anyone see it?
No, but I am looking forward to it. I have enjoyed the later seasons more than one maybe would expect.
They've kind of gone for another pivot. They've gone for it's nearly 50 minutes long episode. And that's what they're doing this season. They're doing longer episodes. Can't say they aren't trying to reinvent themselves and not get stale.
How many seasons are they in?
Oh Jesus, 23. They're on 23 now.
Jesus.
I mean, even if they're dog shit now and they haven't been great the last few years, even still, they didn't hit the highs of the Simpsons. They didn't hit the highs of the Simpsons hit, but Jesus, they didn't hit the lows either. Not even close. Yeah.
Surprising no one, South Park are these sociopaths of comedy.
They are. That would explain it. But before we do any of that, it's time to get introduced to the beer. None of us have anything here. Some of us by design, some of us by accident. You have the correct beer.
Yes.
What is
Jesus Christ. The world is on its head. For the book.
As predicted last week, no one else does, so technically it's meaningless. But yeah, I got Hop Art DDH IPA by Stone Barrel Brewing.
And did you find out what the DD and the H stand for?
No.
Drinkable hot.
Oh yeah, we figured that the last time. But we never looked it up though. We thought it meant that and then went, that'll do. And then, try double hop. Gavin, you're paying the Dutch price, I believe.
Yeah, is it paying the Dutch price or paying the gold price?
It was paying the Dutch price, but paying the gold price is better. So yeah, it's now yeah. paying the gold price, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be paying the gold price because I have to. Yeah, I it's coming. My Craft Central order is coming, but I got on it too late. Was I given enough notice by James? Yes, absolutely. Probably too much, to the point where I thought I was safe. I was like, I can do that tomorrow. And I did it tomorrow, and it's not arrived.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. Jack, again, you just...
No, I actually have a Neil Fitzpatrick special here, and I just have one of the McKellars we got left over. So I'm enjoying a raspberry Berliner from McKellar, which I expect to be absolutely fabulous.
I think we all drank that, but we didn't have it on the show because we all drank it in between. You know, we had a bunch of the fridge and just went and drank it. So,
just couldn't resist.
Mm.
I'm drinking I'm drinking a vanilla Coke with zero sugar.
Whoa, zero with zero sugar?
You couldn't get the full sugar one. I would have. I rarely have the full sugar, but for a vanilla Coke, if I was just getting it, I would have had the. I would have gone for the full whack, but they didn't have it. They just had this. So
nice, nice.
Let's see. The Coke Zero have gotten very good at making it largely taste like Coke with sugar in it.
Yeah.
Although partially I think that might have been achieved by making Coke with sugar in it worse. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know. I think I can still tell the difference. It's tougher. Like, it does taste pretty similar, but I don't drink fizzy drinks that often. But when I do, I want the full sugar version. Fuck it. Like, if it's an indulgence, indulge.
Put it to you this way, I could certainly tell the difference if I had one and then the other, but if I had a Coke Zero, well, I wouldn't normally drink Coke Zero anyway, I would have a Diet Coke, because that tastes like Diet Coke, and it's like, okay, that's what I wanted. I think I could tell them beside each other, but they've gotten now to where, if you just handed me a glass, I wouldn't immediately be like, that's the Coke Zero, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, straight away now, I don't know.
I think in a lot of cases, I enjoy the other one. It feels like crisper or something. Like, I'm a 7-Up guy. Don't know why.
7-Up's awesome.
Yeah, was like, sick a lot as a child.
I was sick so much as a child. So having it fizzy for the first time at the age of 22 was a real boon for me.
What's the logic behind the flat 7-Up?
Absolutely no idea.
Was it just to make sure you didn't accidentally enjoy it?
Yeah.
Because that I believe that.
All the sugar, none of the joy.
Yeah, and I think that I don't know what the reason for giving it to sick children was, other than it just has a lot of sugar in it.
Sure, that's all Cowpal is.
Is it like when we bang paracetamol in with codeine so you don't accidentally have fun? So if you try to take enough codeine to have fun, your liver explodes and you die.
Yeah.
That was the thing in the US during Prohibition. They didn't put paracetamol and stuff, but they did poison. They call it denatured alcohol, but all it meant was they put wood alcohol in like things that people might, that had alcohol in them that people might drink. So you hear denatured and you think, oh, well, they've just taken the alcohol out of it. Nope, they just made it poison.
Jesus.
So I would be...
And like, if people are desperate enough, they'll poison themselves.
Well, they did. There's loads of cases of it. There's people died from deliberately poisoned alcohol by the United States government. I'm sure our government would never do anything as stupid as that.
No, yeah. And a lot of and even these days, like, I don't know if like most mouthwashes contain alcohol anymore, but when they did, it was a popular drink among people who wanted to get riggedy wrecked. And it did bad things to you on the inside.
Unlike flawless perfect alcohol,
flawless perfect alcohol, which could never do a thing wrong.
James, having filled out your application form in full, and may I say, beautifully freshly shaven, such as you are.
Thank you.
I forgot you actually were a normal-looking human being there for a few weeks, and there you go.
Yeah. It was a six-month, somehow, experiment, the beard. But, yeah, the beer, rather, is pretty tasty. Enjoying it so far. Not sure exactly what the dry double hopping is, but there's something different going on there, which I think I quite like.
Didn't we discover upon talking to a brewer that dry hop just means they don't put the hops in, they keep them dry? I mean,
they just off to the side somewhere. This is just water.
It's like dry cleaning. They're like, there was detergent, but it was nowhere near your item of clothing.
But this one's dry double hop, so there's twice as many hops nowhere near it.
Good. Yeah. Good.
That's got to be up there with like hand brewed.
Yeah.
Hand brewed. My hands are scalding. And I'm only making tiny amounts. You ever buy homemade shit in a restaurant and be like,
yeah, where the fuck are you making this in?
Why even have the restaurant?
I bring you the homemade soup from my house. You serve to customers now?
Yeah, yeah, put it in one of the pots in here so it looks like we made it in the restaurant, even though it was definitely made at this person's house. And we'll tell the menu people one thing and the food inspector a different thing.
It's a bit P.T. Barnum-y, isn't it? I mean, it's like, what if we just tell them we made it in someone's gaff and like act like that's good?
Okay, just,
I mean, we have this state of mind.
Throw a mattress in the storeroom and we'll claim someone lives here and it's their home.
Yeah. They think we have a state-of-the-art kitchen back here. I mean, we do, but we don't want to use it. That would dirty the kitchen. We need the health inspector to see that. So, you know, that's I don't know who that guy who was bringing the soup earlier was. I think he was kind of Gru from Despicable Me, but not a good Gru, you know? Wasn't a good impression, but I now think that's who I was channeling.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're pretty spot on with P.T. Barnum. I mean, like, The Greatest Soup on Earth would be a great book. It's about the lies perpetuated in the restaurant business.
It'd make a great musical as well.
God, it would make a great musical. The Greatest Soupman.
That would be what they'd call it. Actually, I think that was the book that the musical was based off. They just changed it from Soupman to Showman in the...
Yeah, they did. Cowards. They were like, soup doesn't sell. Fucking idiots. Soup sells every day in restaurants across this great land.
You find me a day where soup's not selling and I will find you a liar. Great phrase, man. Stick with it. Try to stick the landing there.
I'll tell you this. If I had actually watched that film and knew the songs, I would definitely try and put minestrone into the title of one of them and it would be very funny.
All I can think of is
Rent
now. I
really wish I knew any of the songs from Greatest Showman.
There's the one big one.
There's the one big one. This Is Me. No, wait. Is that it?
Wait, just to take a quick step back. Was The Greatest Showman actually about P.T. Barnum?
I think so, yeah.
Huh. I love Hugh Jackman. I love P.T. Barnum. I love musicals. Why the fuck did I watch this movie?
They made a car named after him as well, the P.T. Cruiser.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the P.T. Carnum.
Oh, yeah, that's much worse.
You live in P.T. Farnum, right?
Yeah. I feel this was done to death 5 years ago when we did it with Dan Bergen's name.
Is everyone enjoying their beers? Everyone liking having a little PT Jardim?
Yeah, these McKellar guys are going to go PT Farnham. God, I've used the same one again.
Yeah, you have.
You're a limited little man, Jack.
Yeah. That was really PT subpar, but and then I screwed up the end of it. Fuck. Okay, we're out of practice. We can't do this.
Yeah. We'll practice. We'll come back next week with more of them. Probably the best way to ensure it doesn't return is for me to promise that it's coming back next week.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, no, surely we need Jack to promise that he's going to prepare several examples for us.
Oh, yeah, that would work.
I'm going to write a short book. I'm going to get it published. I'm going to add a couple of layers of complexity on here. There's going to be illustrations. And I'm going to buy a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to bring in a load of great people. And we're going to make it happen on 6 days' notice.
We need to get Jack to promise to make the pandemic worse. That he's going to bring those case numbers like way up.
I knew I shouldn't have promised a vaccine back in April.
We're never getting one.
No, it's just not going to happen. I'll be there any minute, guys, with a vaccine. I'm just going to see.
While we're on the pandemic, not slightly more frivolous than like proper pandemic stuff, but have you been listening to the vintners and their pals in government?
I have not. I try not to.
You got to, because you got to see what they're up to. We just need to stop off license sales now. That's their big thing that they're getting on.
Why?
Oh, because house parties are happening, you see. And if the pubs can't sell it, then no one should.
Yeah, actually, that makes perfect sense. Do you know what? If you shut down the off licenses, the house parties won't stop, but everyone will start doing a lot more cocaine.
Our breathy devices on the same sucky device.
So yeah, there's two government TDs who are currently spearheading this. One is Fiona O'Fialon, whose brother is a leading publican. And the other one is Pascal Escobar, whose brother, I don't know what he does. I couldn't find any details of him after 1993. But.
His whole story is very P.T. Bizarnum.
Oh, God, stop.
Fiona O'Fialon's a fake name. He doesn't exist, by the way.
So they're just saying that there should be no booze that they can't sell, which is kind of what we expect from the vintners these days, because they are awful. I love pubs. I love the people who keep pubs, but as a lobby group, they are poison to Ireland.
If you go onto their website, lva.ie, the first thing that comes up says pubs across Dublin closed on the 15th of March 2020. Some have been waiting to reopen for, and then they have a fucking countdown, or a count up, I suppose. It is updating every second. 210 days, 18 hours, 40 minutes, 50 seconds at the time of me saying that. Wow. And that is the banner across their page.
Yeah. I get it. I do. They're going about it the wrong way. Like, closing down off licenses isn't the solution. The solution is to just allow pubs to have outdoor areas the way restaurants do.
And it's, but they do, like, they've done that, and it's brilliant. Has anyone been out in the last week or two? It's class.
I have not.
Well, here, let's fucking book a table and go to Ghoulies again and have a nice substantial meal and a few bottles of wine at Ghoulies.
But the substantial meal thing means that certain pubs, for example, I was walking by Grogan's the other day, yeah, and there's a pedestrianized street right next to it. That's like
tragic.
Wide, perfect, everything. But the fact that Grogan's only do toasties means that they can't open. Now, if you put restrictions on, like the kind of 1 hour, 45 minutes, which, you know, is kind of a iffy rule, but, you know, social distancing, plexiglass up, has to be outdoors to pubs. They're the same as restaurants, you know? Table service only, you know. It can be done, but there's not the will to do it.
And that was something that I kept hearing at the very start was, well, you know, there's no way. Once drink is involved, there's no way to social distance. I'm like, dude, I've often gone out on nights out and sat at the one same fucking table and been blotto.
Yeah.
But like still at the same table, getting table service, even better enough to get up after a certain while. You know, it's possible. And yeah, you would have to have a bouncer there going like, this is your one morning, sit down. Oh, you broke it again, get out. It could be done.
Enforcement would be tough. There's no denying that. And like, it would be the responsibility of the pub owners to do that. And is that a responsibility that they would be comfortable taking on? Maybe. Maybe they would. Do people get a little bit more belligerent when they have a few drinks? Some people do, and some people will just be happy to be out. You know, I think that it's kind of edge cases that are causing the problem here. If there was a framework set up to open pubs outdoor, socially distance, table service only in a safe way, I would fully support that. But what the Licensed Vintners Association is doing now in kind of moralizing offline licenses and house parties, I don't think is the right way to do things.
It's obviously disingenuous, though. And we can see through it. Completely, we know what they're doing. I lived through this, and so did you. It was 2007, 2008. Oh, we have to limit the off-license opening hours now. And the reason given was that children were getting too easy access to alcohol. Because I don't know about you, Gavin, but I certainly remember in my childhood waiting outside the off-license at 11 o'clock in the evening to get my drink for that evening. I mean, you remember doing that, don't you?
Yeah, I remember, like, I could have gone in earlier, but I remember at around, it was at around 10 o'clock, I just saw that the off-license owner would get a little sleep and not notice that I was 16 years old.
I mean, kids who are going drinking are the most organized bunch of people you've ever met.
Yeah.
You could open it for 30 seconds at 6 o'clock in the morning and they'd get in there, you know, and find a way to do it. Look, listen, if you are Alcohol Action Ireland and you just want prohibition, I disagree with you, but that is an ideologically consistent position.
Yeah.
Alcohol is bad, less alcohol is always better. Fair enough. You'll never get on board with the argument that, well, I'm a responsible dealer of this drug and I think it's fine, but you, sir, the way you choose to sell it is literally killing grandmothers.
Yeah. It is. It's just completely self-serving and disingenuous. But, like...
I wouldn't mind if we would just all blow past it, but it was getting some traction from politicians and stuff, you know? And part of that is because a bunch of them own pubs, and part of it is because...
Does that help them or does it just hurt? Like, do you think that forces the issue so that more people are like, open it all back up?
A bit of that, they just love to restrict the hours anyway. Like, they would love for you just not to be able to buy drink in anywhere other than the pub in general. That's what they would like.
Mm.
And the more they can restrict it, the better. The minimum unit pricing, reduced hours, all things to make you go into their establishment without them having to improve their establishment or compromise on price or do anything like that.
I love a bit of capitalism.
We don't have it. We've never had it in this country. We have almost proper socialism if you're a company of a big enough size, right? For them. We have socialism in the way the NFL has it.
Yes, that's true. We have exactly 32 units of socialism and each billion-dollar organization gets one.
And then we have ruthless capitalism at the lower tier.
And you can have a secondary market for tickets. That's totally fine.
So I don't know. The mind boggles, and what pisses me off is some people buy it. Some people don't. Like, they're just like, oh well, yeah, well, probably.
I feel like in the last few weeks, because I got a little sick and then got a bit of slack, that I came across as kind of anti-government or anti-lockdown in the last few weeks. And I did. And that's not what I wanted to get across. What I wanted to get across is that I think that this moralizing and self-righteousness is the opposite of good policy. Because good health policy relies on transparency. And if you start moralizing to people about their behavior, you drive that behavior underground and it makes transparency less possible.
Oh, wait, we lost your audio there, Gavin.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, cool. I don't know what bits you missed. None of it was important.
About two seconds. Go.
It was a wonderful speech. The great dictator kind of type of speech.
I mean, Hitler-esque, really.
A parody. The thing is, like, everyone is getting in on this house parties as the be-all and end-all evil. And I think that they fucking shouldn't happen. And
the government man whose job it is to figure out what the problem is, who explicitly said they're not the problem.
This jumping on it by the LVA in order to kind of create a moral panic, and they're the only ones who can solve it by doing something that's in their interest. It strikes me as disingenuous and it strikes me as opportunistic.
I agree with you. And 2 points. The first is that the in a system that refuses to enforce the rules such as they are, rule breakers will outcompete those who obey the rule, in a manner of speaking. So the only way to ameliorate for the people who, no matter what restriction you put on, are going to fucking break it, is to squeeze those who will obey whatever rule you give to sort of to reduce the harm population-wide. And we tend to go for that model rather than the German model of everyone do what you're told.
Yeah.
And secondly, you said you didn't want to come across as anti-lockdown, and I know what you meant, but I wanted to say something that is going to come across wonderfully and it's ever taken out of context. I'm anti-lockdown in the same way that I'm pro-life, if you know what I mean. Like,
as in,
like,
you don't want to lock down in like...
I don't want it. Yeah, I say,
yeah,
you know,
no, same, but,
yeah,
like,
you don't like it, but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, so sorry, if we're coming across as like grumpy and against it, it's like, well, because basically we are, but it's necessary sometimes, right?
Yeah, just, yeah.
You know, I'm anti-restriction in general. I think most sensible people are. Jesus, I'd be anti-mask if it wasn't for the fact that we need to wear masks.
Yeah.
You know, if it was just a thing that people were fucking doing, you know,
if it was a fashion
statement, wear masks.
Yeah, it's less anti and it's more begrudgingly positive. Begrudgingly,
there's anti-fidget spinner, like, you know?
Oh, no, like, that killed kids.
Sorry, you're anti-fidget spinner? I can't believe we've been doing this podcast for 5 years. Guys, I'm out. I'm sorry. I can't believe that Madison's anti-fidget spinner.
Look, wake up, Gav. They've been killing kids.
They've been killing kids.
I think Manus has been spending a bit too much time on dark corners of Reddit, and he's been indoctrinated, to be perfectly honest.
He took the spin pill, and now...
You watch one Joe Rogan episode,
and suddenly...
The algorithm just fucking sends
The algorithm there. Radicalized me.
Suddenly you're asking strangers on the street to turn out their pockets in case there's fidget spinners in there. I don't like how it sounds like frigid.
That's a...
let me tell you, you're not the first person to come up with it. You're just the first person above the age of 16.
Yeah, were a lot of kids called frigid spinners for a year there? Yes.
Yeah.
Were the kids who called them frigid spinners legends? Yes.
Yes. The first kid who said frigid spinner? Massive legend. Jeez.
Genius. I was never bothered or burdened by virginity, but being a frigid, that used to piss me off.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I guess nobody ever was like, "Oh, you're fucking virgin." You know, nobody ever said that, but like, frigid? Oh yeah. I'm like,
yeah,
I bristle.
Yeah.
I'd be like, No, I'm not. Someone called me a virgin.
I met a girl pretty early on in my class.
Whoa.
There were bigger frigids around.
Listen, Gavin, we all know that by the fourth year play, you were a year away from being ready to kiss a girl. I respect that. Nobody more than me knows how much of a legend you were. I mean, listen,
we all heard
tale of the guy who'd actually kissed a girl before his six-year holiday. It was nuts. It was the talk of Dublin.
I heard tale of the chosen one.
One of these days, anyway.
Early kisses, and certainly early frigid-breaking kisses, were quite... medieval and like diplomatic.
In that yeah, the two clans would decide who would score.
You'd have your emissaries go out to engage with their foreign diplomats, agree the terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, how strong an alliance can this scoring?
I just want stronger trade relations with Poland. Now, is someone going to kiss or not?
And there was almost like
that bad at score, Lizzie.
There was like a bedding ceremony as well. So it'd be like you'd go off to be alone, but also they would have to see that it was happening to confirm.
Yeah, yeah.
That you weren't a frigid anymore.
And then you'd come back and just immediately split to the relevant groups and report back. You'd have to do a debrief on the whole mission.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A certain friend
was she a bit of a washing machine, was she?
A certain friend of ours has an excellent first kiss story. I won't say his name, but he arranged to meet the girl he was going to kiss for the first time. And he decided that the quickest way to go there would be... He was meeting her in a park. The quickest way to go there would be on rollerblades. So he rollerbladed up. And then she was standing like, so there was a path through the park and he rollerbladed through that quick as you like. And then she was standing like in a field somewhere by a tree. And he was like, oh, fuck, the rollerblades aren't going to get me there. So he just flopped across the field in these rollerblades, scored her in the rollerblades, clomped back, and then rollerbladed away.
I mean, the fact that he managed to actually succeed is, you know, all credit to him.
All before his master's thesis was even due in. It was incredible. These guys, man, I don't know.
The amazing thing is that he was purely optimizing for speed of in and out. Like, it was a goddamn drive-by. He didn't think at all about functioning there. Nor did he think that he could take his time getting there and back, really luxuriate in the moment.
No, is that a thing people do? And also, might have been like, I want to look cool. Better bring the rollerblades.
Yeah, just in case there's any second thoughts going on here. In case there's any cold feet.
I want to seal the deal.
I got to bring the slayers. Pop on these blades.
Pop on these blades.
They're the leather jackets of feet.
Yes, they are. In many ways, yes, they are.
They tell you so much for just an item of clothing.
Someone once said to me, rollerblades, like, when explaining why, like, Mario is still going and Sonic the Hedgehog, like, lasted kind of 5 years and then it's no longer relevant. They just said, Sonic the Hedgehog was cool at the same time that rollerblades were cool. Yeah. So that kind of tells you all you need to know about his attitude.
They were both cool at the same time that that spelling extreme with just an X made things cool.
Yeah.
Three E's is too many in any word. You got to lose the third E.
So what you're saying is it all came crashing down when Concorde was retired.
Yeah.
The fall of Western civilization to the time the Concorde was retired.
I thought you were going to say rollerblades.
Well, they were all predicted in Rick Derringer's seminal hit, written originally for the U.S. Express, but optimized by Hulk Hogan. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, that's what he was talking about.
I am a real American.
And Western civilization.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Spooktober,
yeah, it's continuing. So I watched two scary movies this weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah?
First one, Rosemary's Baby. Mm. Let me tell you, that ain't a scary movie. It's a drama with some horror elements. Now, is it good? Fuck yes. It is excellent. Looming sense of dread. Paranoia, excellent performances, really weird, freaky cult shit going on. Brilliant. Absolutely loved it. Central performance by Mia Farrow. And all of the things, like, there's one, like, horror effect that, like, might be a bit scary, but the rest of it is all just kind of how people are acting. It's all just a bit kind of mysterious and off-putting. Yeah, would really recommend Rosemary's Baby. Just as, like, a good drama.
It's a good film.
Good film.
Regardless of spookiness.
Why do you think people call it a horror in that case?
It's kind of a horror. Like, the story has horror elements, but, like, I would say it's not at... The kind of consequences of what's happening are horrific. It's kind of scary in atmosphere. It's got atmosphere like that, but it's not... No jump scares, no anything to try and spook you, other than, like, the kind of eeriness of it.
Unease. I wonder if our definition of what a horror is has unnecessarily narrowed.
Maybe.
I think about
post, yeah, like, I'm going to blame Scream for this, in our generation anyway.
Yeah.
As kind of a, like, that wasn't genre. It was, like, so good it defined the genre. It literally... attempted to define a genre.
That's
what horror is now. Get on board.
It did. Scream defined the kind of slasher movie. It took all of the tropes and essentially just codified them by.
And then, like, is it Scream that did that, or is it Scary Movie that did that by coming along and parodying something that was already a parody?
Scary Movie did that for sure. Maybe we should all watch Scary Movie for next week and have a review on that. Because I haven't watched Scary Movie since a fucking donkey's years. And when I was 30, it was the funniest thing going.
It was literally the funniest thing that had ever happened.
I'd be up for doing that. Watch Scary Movie.
I was 13, man. Yeah, did I love some Scary Movie? Did I love some Limp Bizkit? Yeah. Man, those things were dope.
I listened to so much Limp Bizkit in the car this week. It was embarrassing.
So one song?
No, because when you go to Spotify and you just press the fucking give me Limp Bizkit button, it will keep rolling for hours on it.
It's a big button as well, in fairness.
It's actually bigger.
Few buttons. It keeps going, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
And
the eventually response is, it's like, hello, Fred.
Or keep rolling.
Good afternoon, Fred. You are playing yourself again. I'm willing to bet that type of movie. I mean, for sure, it's gone to the point where it's unbelievably crap now. Actually, it might have gone full circle to where it's interesting again, where it's like, you know, what was going on. I can't imagine a genre of movie that would go stale quicker than a parody of other films.
Mm. Yeah, because they're parodying Scream, which like isn't as relevant as it was back then. But also, I remember maybe just the later Scary Movies, but did Scary Movie 1 have as many like on-the-nose cultural references to the time? It's like, oh, what's Justin Timberlake doing here? You know, like...
It's been so long since I've seen it that I'm willing to bet it probably did, but I'm also willing to bet that at the time I saw it, I didn't get a lot of what was... You know, there's probably a...
We might be better audiences for it now. It won't hit as hard, but we'll still be like, oh yeah, that guy.
Like, it won't be funny.
Guys, homework, and let's not complicate it any further. Let's watch Scary Movie at some point this week and then discuss it next week. I do remember one reference in it is, what's that?
Yes! They swap out the mask and everything. Genius!
God, remember when that...
There's a point to look out for. What is like the worst, most aged reference in that film?
Yeah.
It could be that, but I bet there's something worse.
There will be for definite. It should have aged to the point that it's funny in another way by now, because like even a normal comedy from 2001, in or around there.
Yeah.
Won't be properly funny anymore, realistically. It's been
years.
That there's no way.
It will be an intriguing character study.
I mean, it couldn't be good. God bless it, like. But listen, it only had to be what it was at the time. But I'm interested now. I want to... And also because we're reviewing it, it'll make me sit through it. Because normally I'll like throw on a film and be like, oh yeah, this is shit, and then get rid of it. Whereas when we're reviewing it, it'll be like, okay, I'll have to watch it. It's for business.
It's for business. This is a business expense.
It's a business Scary Movie.
Yeah. The second film I watched was Scream 2, which I love the Scream films. I think they're just a hoot. I've seen Scream 1, 2, and 3. They're just like a fun little roller coaster.
I enjoyed them, definitely. I haven't seen them in years, but I certainly enjoyed them. I probably enjoy them differently now because I hadn't seen a lot of the type of film that it was sort of pastiching or homaging or whatever you call it. Or pastiching or homaging, as I believe they are pronounced in English. So I might enjoy it on a different level now. But they were good. A career high point for David Arquette, that's for sure.
Definitely. Not financially, but Courtney Cox is fucking great in them.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She's kind of... Gary O'Connor doesn't get the credit she deserves for just being kind of great.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. And like, it's probably tough to get any role after you were Monica, but like, as Gail Weathers, she's brilliant.
Yeah. When you consider how what Friends was, most of them have had way better post-Friends careers than you would think were possible.
Yeah, so Lisa Kudrow did the comeback, Joey did episodes, Jennifer Aniston has done a few films, which, like, I'd say, I think a good few of them have been good. Like, The Good Girl was good. Puddin' was good.
Yeah, she did some big movies. Like,
David Schwimmer's almost moved more into drama and stuff.
Yeah.
Decent job, he was in the OJ thing.
He was awesome in the OJ thing. He was really good in... what the fuck was that World War II thing that he was in? Only in a couple of episodes of it. Yeah, exactly. He was only in a couple of episodes of that. He was great in that. I can't really think of much else, actually, he was in, but... what you call him?
Chandler Matthew was Perry. 60.
Matthew Perry hasn't been in... He was in that Aaron Sorkin thing.
Yeah, Studio 60. He was good in that, but that was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still like, it's the worst Aaron Sorkin thing, which makes it, okay.
Pretty good, but yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like it was going to be class for like 2 episodes, and it just wasn't.
It also came out alongside Dirty Rock, which didn't.
Yeah, and Dirty Rock did that right.
Yeah.
Well, that 30 Rock was like, okay, the sketch show in the show is going to be shit, and that's going to be a joke. Whereas in Studio 60, it was like, the sketch show is best comedy show in America. Just whenever we show you one of the sketches, they're really bad.
Yeah, they'd have been much better off never ever showing you one of them. They'd have been much better off just sort of alluding to them and, like, you know.
Yeah. I loved it in Studio 60 as well. It's like, they're not only the best comedy sketches, they're also important.
Speaking to
the nation.
Yeah.
Holding Aaron a mirror Sorkin,
like, he got kicked off the West Wing after 5 seasons and he was like, fuck, I want to still be writing that, but I can't still write that, so...
What's the equivalent of the White House? Saturday Night Live!
you got a real view, unintentionally, I think, into what I think Hollywood or American actor types think of what they are. Like, what they think they're doing. And it's like, dude, it's not saying entertainment's not important, but that's what you are. Anyway.
It's the Argo effect.
So the Argo effect. Oh.
We won't be accepting notes from your mothers next week. That homework has to be completed by Monday.
Okay, excellent.
Also, just to go back to Scary Movie, there's a pair of writers on that I want to bring up, because the fact they still get work is incredible. The first Scary Movie is written by the Wayans brothers, and then there's also a pair called Freeberg and Seltzer, Jason Freeberg and Aaron Seltzer. There's two other writers, but I don't recognize the names. I don't think they're too relevant. Anyway, Freeberg and Seltzer, they've helped write the first Scary Movie, and they got 53 on Rotten Tomatoes. Then I'm going to go through the rest of their filmography as writers and give you the Rotten Tomatoes score for each one. Next, they did Date Movie, 7%. Epic Movie, 2%. Meet the Spartans, 2%. Disaster Movie, 1%. Vampires Suck, 4%. The Starving Games, 0%. And Superfast, which is a Fast and the Furious, that also got single figure percentage. How do these people manage to make, what, 8 films or something?
I'm gonna say that the movies cost fuck all to make.
Yeah.
And there's enough 14-year-olds that it doesn't matter.
That makes sense.
Whenever you see consensus horrible reviews like that, though, I'm always a little bit like, it's not 0%.
Well,
what would a fucking 0% film be? It would be a book.
So The Starving Games.
You bought 2 tickets to a film and you get your popcorn and you get your fucking sweets, and then you go in, you sit down, you get your hand around your girl, you watch the trailers, and then they hand you a book. That's a 0% film. Date Movie was not zero. Well, I did want it to get 2%. I haven't seen it. There's no way.
Here's the thing, though.
Would be better than Date Movie, Mama.
Oh, like, there's probably tons. I like books, but I've gone to the cinema. You got your popcorn and your drink,
and it's all dark.
The floor is sticky and it's dark, and they hand you think you're going to see Lord of the Rings, and they hand you Lord of the Rings.
They don't want the books are better.
Try and take out your phone, and they're like, "No phones allowed, sir. You're in a movie theater."
You know what? Every time somebody says the books are better than a film, that's what should happen. What, sir? We're simply trying to increase your enjoyment of the cinema. Now, you claim on Twitter that there's no way the film could keep up with the books, and so enjoy.
Enjoy. Here's the keys, sir. Please lock up after you finish that book. We're all going home to watch a film.
Well, guys, there's a really simple answer to the question of why they keep making movies. It's because they all make $80 million.
And probably cost about four.
They actually cost about 20. You know, Carmen Electra is not working for free. But the cheapest movie, the cheapest like you could go is like 3 to 4 million. So they're like they're on the low end for sure. The only movie that seems to have not made an absolute mountain of cash was The Starving Games, where they lost, that only had a budget of 4 million. Everything else.
Also, just to read the plot synopsis, it goes exactly as you'd expect from one of these movies. It's like when the games begin, can't miss, as opposed to. Katniss grabs a backpack and tries fleeing. The game's producer sends Angry Birds to attack her. She defeats them and squashes the annoying orange in a Fruit Ninja parody.
Oh. I reckon they fall down and fart a lot.
Yes.
Because frankly...
I mean, and it's only funny the first 4 or 5 times.
And then the 9th or 10th time. It's 6 to 8 dog shit. If you keep falling down and farting in a film, eventually... hilarious. We should write novelizations of these books, of these films.
Good, yes. Now, and I claim that like novelizations of films to know how to do that.
And then we will claim constantly, no matter who asks, that like, the books are better. Scary movie series, not bad. I understand commercial realities and everything. They had to make some changes. But the books, though, are really where it's at.
I look forward to our novelization so that we can use the phrase, "Help me," she farted sadly.
There's going to be way more poo than there'd normally be in a film. do we have anything else on the gen?
I don't know.
I don't even think those things were on the gen, frankly.
Yeah, but we're watching Scary Movie this week.
That's a treat really for like us that. And the listener. And you know what, listener? You should watch it too. So this is to John and Dave and Eleanor. And we could probably list all the listeners.
let's just say Harrod.
Back to Ireland, so I don't think he needs to listen anymore. But if he still is, hey, Harrod, how's it going? Yeah. Great to have you on board.
Yeah, it sure is, Harrod.
Enjoy the movie, Harrod. does anyone want to review the beer James is drinking?
Delicious. 10 out of 10.
10's across the board.
It's a very tasty beer. Can't find anything wrong with it, really. It's I go 8.5.
8.5. All right. That gives it a total score of 8.5. The final counted score of, guys, hold on, I need to do the maths.
Yeah, it'll take your time.
8.5.
Brilliant.
Let's see what the boys in the lab have to say about this.
Dutch Gold, again, bar the first taste. Not bad.
Yeah, crushing it.
Yeah.
I also saw the Dutch truck roll up to Centra earlier. And I went like...
So you got it fresh off the truck.
I got it fresh off the truck.
They used to bring the Dutch cow to the shop and milk it there in front of you. But now they can it first. It's pasteurization has ruined it, frankly, is what did it. Vanilla Coke puts a lie to the fact that anyone drinks beer for the flavor, because you would just drink Vanilla Coke. It's much nicer. What about the Berliner Weiss, Jack? All right. Pretty much not going to be bad, right?
No, it's actually a raspberry Berliner, and it's fucking really good. Yeah. Yep, really, really tasty. If I had to give it a score, it'd be 8 or 9 or something like that, but so it's just me, so fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it is right. With that, there's only one thing really to cheers to doing our homework.
Doing our gosh darn homework.
Thanks, Teach.
The Final Countdown is brought to you by Gavin Carberry, Jack Toner, James Belfast, and Ant-Man is Cronin. Follow us on Twitter at Fail Countdown. Fail Countdown. And email us at finalcountdown at gmail.com.